I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Last night, millions of Americans tuned in to one of the most shameful hours we have ever seen on cable television. With contempt for the facts, disregard of the risks, and knowing full well he was lying to his audience, Fox News host Tucker Carlson ran a lengthy segment last night arguing the January 6th Capitol attack was not a violent insurrection.
This is April 28, 2023. That was Senator Schumer on the floor of the Senate after Tucker Carlson was showing video the night before that did not display violence on January 6th. Some, but not all. Quick points, that's not to say there was no violence. There was. But there were also many peaceful scenes. Chuck Schumer is accusing Tucker of cherry-picking video. If you recall on that date, that's what he was claiming. Well, that's exactly what the January 6th committee did. Why are we revisiting this? It's because they still want to find any way they can to demonize Tucker Carlson, make him untouchable. That's because sources are now claiming that inside Fox, Tucker Carlson's contract still exists. He's under contract to Fox till December 2024. And he can't get out of it unless he wants to sign some statements that he won't say anything bad against the company. So the point is, keep him off the air until after the election. You see how the game is played? They wrote the playbook. They know what they're doing. Let me ask you this. Do you know what the Global Disinformation Index is, the GDI? That's a British organization with a pair of U.S. nonprofit affiliates. It gets hundreds of thousands of dollars from you through our State Department's Global Engagement Center at the taxpayer-funded National Endowment for Democracy. It also gets tons of money from George Soros' Open Society Foundation. The idea behind the GDI is to rank various news sources as if they were risky and they are actually accurate or if they're giving you disinformation. What do you think? What do you think? The 1792 Exchange is a group of like-minded organizations and leaders guaranteeing all viewpoints have a seat at the cultural table. Yes, you could say they lean more right than left because they believe in the First Amendment, while many on the left do not, apparently. Paul Fitzpatrick, the president of the 1792 Exchange, explains how GDI works.
There's no longer a space where Americans can be together and used to be the workplace and not have to fight on issues. But now, because these corporations have been weaponized, the corporations, the folks sitting next to each other in the cubicles are divided. The employees, the customers are divided, and our political process is undermined. So this is the left. Again, it's the marriage of big business. The left does a very good job, especially we know about the deep state, your listeners do, of weaponizing the government. But now they have married big business with big government to choke information.
And in fact, you might work for one of those corporations that has gone, quote, woke. But you got a good paying job? Are you going to walk away from it because of that? Or are you just going to kind of keep your head down and do your thing? And when the GDI goes to rate those who are giving out disinformation, guess what? All 10 of the news organizations the GDI classifies as riskiest or worst are not part of the left liberal media club, the state-controlled media. No, in fact, they are speaking normally the truth and true facts, but they don't fit the narrative. But here's what GDI then does. By putting you on this risky list, possible advertisers are advised, hey, look at this rating. Are you sure you want to put money into this operation? Again, Paul Fitzpatrick.
It's basically an excuse for U.S. companies, like anybody using this Xander and other entities use it, an excuse for these folks who are placing ads to say, nope, we're not going to do that. So we're going to choke not only the revenue to try to kill off sites like Breitbart, but we're going to make sure that the information doesn't flow. An interesting piece about this site, this tool, GDI, this information source, it was active in the months leading up to the midterm elections. And so we don't know how much information was blocked leading up to the midterm elections. Could that have changed the outcome of some races that are very close? That's very possible.
It is possible. And we certainly know that some conservative news outlets did not get dollars they might have been expecting because they appeared on the GDI list as peddling disinformation. While the ones who were peddling disinformation, oh, they got tons of money. It's all played at that level, and you are nothing but a pawn. But now you're more aware. You also need to be aware of what's going to happen May 11. Our southern border is bracing for May 11. At that date, Biden will end Title 42. The city of El Paso says on that day they expect 8,000 to start coming through their city, 8,000 illegals starting on May 11 every single day. Multiply it out the rest of the way through the end of May, May 31. How many? Way too many. 400,000 across the entire southern border. And among them, maybe more Chinese men of military age. Why do I bring that up? Of course, one, how they got from China to here, and why? Why would men of military age from China be coming across the southern border? My next guest was going to suggest that this could be the first wave of China invading our homeland. Lock and load, ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I have some advice for you. Before you have anyone replace windows in your home, call Renewal by Anderson. Get information. Renewal finds where you're losing energy, driving up cost in summer and winter. It's easy to connect to Renewal by Anderson. Dial #250, #250, and say windows. That connects you direct to Renewal on the list of the most trusted companies, the nation's best warranty. Dial #250, #250, and say windows.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone. I've been sleeping all alone. I won't kiss you.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My next guest we've had on numerous times before. Always glad to have him. And I will tell you this. The man is an expert on China. In fact, he's lived there for many years. Gordon G. Chang. Glad to have you back on board, sir.
Thank you so much, Larry.
I know you spend a lot of time on various network programs, so I'm always appreciative of the time you give my audience. I want to begin. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm always appreciative of the time that you get me to speak to you and your audience. So thank you,
sir. And of course, I'll remind everybody that you do have a Twitter account, and I urge folks to follow it at Gordon G. Chang. I follow it all the time. I urge you to do the same because you see a lot of things from him that he may or may not get to discuss on some of the programs. Gordon, I would like to take a moment to focus on, first of all, I'm sure you're familiar with this war scenario played out by some of the congressmen the other day. It happened. In fact, we ran an extensive report on it yesterday. The congressman from Wisconsin talking about how They talked about how Taiwan, if Taiwan, and they're talking about 2027, if Taiwan were to invade, I mean, if China were to invade Taiwan, what would happen? And basically, he said within a few days, we'd be out of good ammunition. We'd be out of ammunition. We might have sunk 70 of their ships, but they'd have 80,000 troops in mainland in Taiwan. Your thoughts?
Well, certainly. The United States military is low on munitions. We know this because we're having problems resupplying Ukraine. And, of course, that drains away the resources that would be available or needed for other conflicts. And it's not just Taiwan. It could be Japan, the Philippines. It could be India. Could be Algeria and Morocco. Who knows what it would be. But at this point, clearly the U.S. military is not ready.
Well, and of course, we have the Sudan issue underway now. That's just an additional strain.
Yes, and here's a failure of the Biden administration to understand what's going on, because we have the Russia's Wagner group of mercenaries fueling the insurgency. It is extremely unlikely that Putin has the resources to do this. So probably what we've got, I don't know this, but I think that it's extremely probable that China is fueling that insurgency. And the reason is, if you look at the map, Sudan borders the Red Sea, which gives Russia and China control of that critical waterway. And so we've got another crisis there. This highlights something, Larry, and that is that when things go bad, they go bad very fast. Yeah. They go bad fast around the world.
Yeah, as happens, as I say. But I was going to bring up that Red Sea point, and obviously, your knowledge jumps ahead of any question I would have raised. I'm glad you did. But again, help the public understand China, its benefit by being involved in Sudan with the sea and the entree.
Well, what it would do is it would be able to tell the world that they use the Suez Canal only with Beijing's permission. And so for very little money, they are able to grab control of one of the world's few choke points.
We're also looking at how China has already been basically getting involved in Africa and at least a couple of the countries, putting in a lot of personnel, equipment, and money.
Yes, and clearly what you've got, I mentioned Algeria and Morocco. China and Russia are fueling Algeria's support for the Polisario Front, which is trying to break up Morocco, which is a longtime U.S. friend. Morocco actually signed one of the Abraham Accords, and the U.S. Made promises to the kingdom, and the U.S. under the Biden administration has failed to honor those promises. So here again, we're ditching an American friend to help an enemy. I just don't understand the Biden theories about what they're doing.
I don't think they have one. I think they just catch what's blowing in the wind. And back to the Select Committee on China, which was a Congressman Mike Gallagher, Republican, Wisconsin, was helping oversee the war games. He basically said what we need to do right now to avoid not just war with China, but another world war, is to arm Taiwan to the teeth, that we've got $19 billion worth of equipment backlog that we haven't moved forward.
That's right. And that's our fault. And it's not just the fault of Biden. It's the fault of his predecessors as well.
Right.
We've tried to slow walk arms sales to Taiwan. We've tried to sell Taiwan some of the stuff it doesn't need, because we don't want to sell them the stuff they do need. So now it's also Taiwan's fault that they sometimes ask for the wrong things. But what we've got is a situation where we have tried to entice China into restraint by restraining Taiwan. And that has failed miserably. So really what we've got to do right now is to arm Taiwan, something we didn't do with regard to Ukraine. And we see that the result of that. So it is no longer our ability to influence Moscow and Beijing. We just need to know that there are enemies and we have to oppose them at every point.
So you don't have to look at it as a theory. You look at it pragmatically with Ukraine and see, there's your example of what would happen. Now, this war game they played, that would be a preemptive strike by China capturing Guam and basically then going right into Taiwan. And as I said, we would be within a matter of days, they would have 80,000 Chinese troops in the land, in Taiwan itself.
Perhaps. Remember, there's a lot more going on here than there are so many different scenarios.
Yeah.
And, you know, in general, Larry, the scenarios that U.S. military analysts and others, they evolved in these tabletop exercises. I think that they don't, and they don't exercise for something that we should be considering, and that is China's early use of nuclear weapons with regard to Taiwan or Japan or whatever. This is something that Chinese think about, and we should be thinking about it as well.
Are you talking about maybe a limited nuclear and what they might call suitcase-type weapons, not massive destruction, but yet making the impact?
Yes, and really what they're trying to do is to intimidate the United States into not helping Taiwan, something that Vladimir Putin has been somewhat successful with regard to Ukraine, making threats to use nuclear weapons, and that has limited, that has gotten the Biden administration to limit its support for Ukraine, because Biden is not seeking victory there. What he's just trying to do is manage the situation to prevent it from a total collapse.
So another, So another point that came up in the as they played the war games, they started looking at economic issues, which I think obviously had to be done. And Gallagher said Russian sanctions negotiation would be a cakewalk compared to what we'd have to do against the Chinese Communist Party. And in fact, we might have some European nations not willing to step up and stand with us.
Yes, and really what we should be doing is telling our European partners that if they expect them, you know, expect us to defend them, they've got to help us. And really what this is would be one of those existential crises, and we need to have our partners stand with us, and we should impose costs on our partners if they don't.
They were not even paying their share for NATO until Trump said, if you don't pay your share, we will pull out. And everybody said, you can't pull out of NATO. And NATO actually liked the fact that he put pressure on them to put more money on the table. And they did.
Yes. Yeah, well, some countries did. Really, this is the issue of countries spending 2% of gross domestic product on their own defense. And we have a country to our north, which has flat out explicitly said they do not intend to meet their 2% requirement. And the United States needs to have some tough conversations with Ottawa, because Ottawa, at least under Trudeau, is closer to Beijing than it is to the United States. And Canada is a Five Eyes partner. It's a NATO partner. This is unacceptable.
But we do have a closed border that Biden was able to work out with the Canadian prime minister, whereas our southern border doesn't exist. And there have been more and more reports of numerous Chinese men of military age crossing our southern border. What's behind that?
Yeah. Michael Young, who's the Great War correspondent, has been seeing more and more, as you say, males of military age unattached to family groups crossing the border, crossing the Darien Gap, which is the gap between Colombia and Panama, which almost all Chinese migrants have to cross before they walk across our southern border. I think they're saboteurs. These are the people that on the first day of a war are going to take down our grid, poison our water, assassinate our police officers, detonate bombs on American streets. These are the people that are going to wage war on our soil. And the war with China, let's be clear. You know, we've had a series of wars where American people haven't really felt it. This is going to be a war that every American will know that they're in it on day one.
And not just for the Chinese, but all the Mideastern links and terrorists that we have caught that have come into the land that might be here for jihad. But you mentioned they're coming in below Mexico, but I've seen reports that more and more are being flown directly into, if not Mexico City, closer to the U.S. at other airports, so they don't have that far of a trek. And it has to be the government behind them. They don't get out of China in mass numbers like that without not only just permission, but direction by China.
Well, I think most of the Chinese refugees are indeed real refugees, because China is facing domestic crises,
right.
And it has no answers to them. And so people want to get out. There's deep pessimism there. So, you know, if we're talking about 99.999% of the Chinese, yeah, they are just wanting to leave China because of the situation there. But it's the remaining percentage, which is small, but nonetheless yeah. large. Considering the damage that they can do, because they can take down our country. And so we have to remember that we're letting in saboteurs, people who will try to, who will wage war on the United States, and perhaps in the not too distant future.
And this is going to expand rapidly come May 11th when the Title 42 goes away.
Yes, that's certainly true. I mean, the numbers will increase, which means the number of Chinese migrants will increase, which means the number of Chinese saboteurs will increase.
And, you know, here's the line that I can hear the left saying, you just hate yellow people. No, I don't hate yellow people, and I know you don't either. I mean, you live among them. We're talking about those who have intent to harm this country. Those are the ones we need to be concerned about, and it doesn't make a difference of color or their background
or anything else.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And the other thing we got to remember is that every Chinese national is under a compulsion to commit espionage against the United States, and indeed under a compulsion to commit acts of sabotage. Under the Chinese communist system, nobody can refuse a demand from the Communist Party if they're a Chinese national. This has nothing to do with race. This has everything to do with the communist system. And if you are going to throw up racial barriers to our defending ourselves, then that's racism in itself.
Yeah.
So we have to understand what's going on here.
In the last 20 seconds, we also have these Chinese police stations, and they might have been spying and intimidating and also existing on campuses going after Taiwanese students.
Yeah, this is, why didn't we hear about this from the FBI? Why didn't we hear about this from Joe Biden? We heard about this from a Spanish-based NGO, Safeguard Defenders, and the New York Post. The American people should start asking, what are we paying our taxes for? We should be paying our taxes to the Washington Post, to the New York Post.
Yeah, that's about true. Gordon G. Chang, again, at Twitter, Gordon G. Chang. I thank you very much for your time. I wish you a great weekend, sir.
You too, Larry. Thank you.
You bet. That's a frightening scenario, and as he said, every one of them has a commitment to China, not us. You want a beautiful lawn, but if you live by my motto, I don't do projects. So call the experts, Allen Outdoor Solutions, lawn maintenance, landscaping, lighting, irrigation. Recent storms might have created some drainage issues. That's not good for your home. Get immediate help or a quote. Call my friend, Steve Allen, 314-647-4800, 647-4800, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com. If you're even thinking about buying a home, you need to contact Homestead Financial Mortgage. Get pre-approved. Jump ahead of others looking at the same house. Often you can close in as little as 15 days. Homestead Financial Mortgage can guide you and your realtor through the maze that slows down the process. Go to my website, easy to remember, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. My first name, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Going back to the beginning of today's broadcast, I mentioned that Tucker Carlson, according to insiders, is still tied to Fox News. His contract runs through 2024. He just doesn't have his program. They pulled him off the air. If he wants to get out before 2024, he might have to sign various clauses that prevent him from speaking the truth about what was happening. And the idea is for many, just keep him off the air from anywhere, and that Fox News execs are willing to oblige the left to do that, maybe. I want to share a piece from Town Hall written by Kurt Schlichter. He said, struck down, Tucker will become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. He said, the Tucker Carlson story brings out the media stupid. Yeah, I think it might do that. He said, actually, when you start to look at all this, Fox will face some challenges. And what they can do, it does not absolutely own conservatives today, if it ever did. It believes that a lot of conservatives have been annoyed with Fox for quite a while, and the leftists simply don't understand that. And those conservatives think that Fox has gone soft. Yeah, we've heard that, have we not? But what apparently many misunderstand is what Fox wants to be now. And what does it want to be? Again, Kurt Schlichter, writing for Town Hall, says the Fox audience has little patience for old-school journalistic standards in an age where rest of the media slanders it as a bunch of racist, sexist monsters who think that only women can get pregnant. Yeah, right, only women. That the audience wants a cheerleader network, not just primetime opinion shows. Well, now they don't have Tucker. But he raises a question as to, do those viewers consider themselves Fox viewers or Tucker viewers? We're hearing a lot of them saying they're walking away from Fox, going to other news outlets, One America, Newsmax, anything, but of course then the state-controlled media, CNN, and MSNBC, and the rest of them. But again, in this piece for Town Hall, the author says, whatever is going on, it does appear that Tucker is now free. Free to do what? He has limitless options. That moves us back to the issue of, does he actually still remain under contract to Fox through 2024? I've been there in that spot on a non-compete agreement, even though I was fired. I could not work anywhere in the market for a year. I didn't leave them. They kicked me out. I won't even get into the reasons. Some of you know it. The rest of it's history. Bottom line is, they held me to the non-compete, even though I did not walk away and go to another station. They fired me. In this case, if you believe the insiders, yeah, they took Carlson's show away from him so he doesn't have it. He can go to the studio in his home or wherever he does it, but they're not going to be broadcasting it. And he's still tied to that contract, which I guess means he's still getting the money. They're going to have to do that if they're going to honor their side of the contract. And if he wants to get out, well, Tucker, you're going to have to sign this and this and this and promise us this and your pet dog at the same time. Would Tucker Carlson been like that? If their intent behind Fox and those who are pushing all this is just make him disappear so we can get through the 2024 election without his insight, then they may try to hold him to it. But according to the piece as written for Town Hall, they say, advantage Tucker. He's not unemployed. He is simply unleashed. Fox may not think it needs Tucker. That will remain to be seen. But Tucker certainly does not need Fox. He said Tucker is a conservative giant with only Rush Limbaugh at all comparable in his standing within the conservative movement. So the question as to what Tucker will do, same answer as the answer to the question about what that 800-pound gorilla will do. You know that answer. That 800-pound gorilla will do whatever he wants. All right, so much for Tucker Carlson. There's another face, voice, sound in the news that is claiming that they're not getting properly handled, and you, my friend, are to blame for it. So transgender advocate Dylan Mulvaney, the one on the Bud Light can, which is not being sold that many places nowadays, they absolutely turn their back on their true audience, hard-working blue-collar workers who just want to settle down at the end of the day with a Bud Light. But once they learn that Dylan Mulvaney's face was on some commemorative cans and maybe elsewhere, they're not going to touch it. They went woke and weren't going to deal with it. Nobody actually called for a boycott, but it happened organically, and it's hurt Bud Light considerably. And two of their execs, one most responsible and the one overseeing that person, both are on leave. I'm sure they're somewhere sipping a Bud Light with Dylan Mulvaney. But Mulvaney claimed, my critics are dehumanizing me. The mainstream criticism of my transgender advocacy is inhuman noise. He said, I've been offline for a few weeks. A lot's been said about me, which is so far from the truth. I was like hearing my name and I didn't even know who they were talking about. I'm struggling to understand the need to dehumanize and to be cruel. I don't know of anybody dehumanizing him. I'm calling him exactly what he is. He is a man parading around in girls' skirts and dresses, mocking women, actually, over rouged on the cheeks and lipstick and tee-hee and claiming, oh, my God, I haven't had my menstrual period this month. You will not have one. He has not been through transgender surgery nor puberty-blocking drugs. He just simply decided to start taking that approach, and he's making a ton of money. Larry, you should have thought of that idea. Shoot, I could have done that. No, I wouldn't do it. Would you? But he says, ordinary men and women, they're just turning on me. They're dehumanizing me. You're a human, Dylan. I will grant you that, and I'm not trying to dehumanize you, and I don't really care what you do. I don't, as long as you're not hurting children or you're grooming children for pedophiles. And not every member of the LGBTQ plus community is a pedophile. I would stress that over and over again. I saw a tweet yesterday from a guy in Florida identifying himself as a gay man in Florida, and he said, and I am against anyone who's trying to entice children because children are off limits. And if you are an LGBTQ and you think that you're being singled out and accused of grooming children and encouraging them to have sex, don't take it as a personal affront to you. Just make it clear that you're against it. But the ideology that Mulvaney has been pushing is that effeminate teenagers and men should declare themselves as women. Just go ahead and say that you're a woman. And he added, I'm a theater person, and I'm camp, but this is just my personality. It always has been. I have no issue with that. I could play like I'm John Wayne all day long. I could wear the boots. I get the walk out of the walk and put my holster on and a cap, and I could be John Wayne. You can call me the Duke, but I ain't John Wayne. I'm not the Duke. I'm still a man. Mulvaney wants to be a female John Wayne? No, doesn't even like a John Wayne, I'm sure. No one's trying to dehumanize, but we are upset with Bud Light and companies that go woke because a tiny, tiny fraction exists out there that says, we want to be heard.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
When you have to wait on something you really want, it's tough, but it's worth it. I'm talking about the opening date for Napoli C. Now, May 22. Opening day, May 22. Napoli C will open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. Napoli C will have some of the finest seafood, lobster, caviar. And, of course, keep in mind, you can always find me at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and now, Napoli C, May 22.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I'm sure most of you have heard about ChatGPT. Basically, you speak something into it that you want a paper written on this or that, and it just suddenly starts spewing off information. And there's concern, obviously, among college and high schools, where if you're asking a student to do a paper, did they really do it, or did it come ChatGPT? There should be some kind of identification that would identify it, but apparently there's not. And, of course, there's even a recent attempt to do a Dr. Drake song, basically, or some song of that nature, claiming that it was him when it wasn't. But listen to this. In a JAMA report, that's the Journal of American Medicine, they did a study that shows that ChatGPT crushed real doctors in answering patient questions. They were using a site called Ask Doctors, where you could ask questions. And the three healthcare providers they were dealing with were blinded to who was sending the information and questioning it. When it came down to who gave the best and fastest answer, it was not the doctors. It was ChatGPT telling the patient. In other words, they say, you could write on there, I have a headache. Can you help me? And ChatGPT would come up and, zoom, there's your answer. And the doctors are still trying to go through, obviously, understanding more. ChatGPT just, is it the right answer? Not necessarily so. Bottom line is, it beat the doctors to any answer. You want to go down that road? I don't. I want us to continue to develop minds, not idiots. As always, I thank you for listening. Please support our sponsors. And remember our pledge. One nation under God.